Welcome to Time to Revive, a ministry program designed to equip the saints to share the gospel and make disciples as Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28. Grab a paper and pen and let's get started.
Good morning and welcome to Time to Revive. My name is Angie, and in the studio with me today, Mark Boyer and Mark Bird. We are here to help you as you go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ in your everyday life. We want to encourage you on these different things that we're talking about today. Love, listen, discern, and respond is the method that we use when we go out and talk to people or we pray with people, and we're breaking them down. Last week we talked about love. Today we're going to talk about listen. Before we get to our lesson in Mark chapter 8, we're going to take a moment right now and catch up with Mark Boyer on what's going on with Revive Ohio in our listening area.
Thanks, Angie. Yeah, I just went through the other day and got everything updated on our website. So if you click on the Revive link there, you can see what's going on in the three counties, Hancock, Logan, and Champaign. And coming up this weekend is an exciting time for Hancock County as they prepare for their outreach week in November, which is the 2nd through the 8th. But they're having their first Come and See night this Sunday night at 6:33. It's interesting with that time, 6:33, they do everything at 6:33. Like their prayer time on Thursday night starts at 6:33. So they're just going with that unique time with everything that they do. So again, this Sunday night, September 30th at 6:33 p.m. at the Howard United Methodist Church there on Cherry Street in Findlay is going to be their first Come and See night. So inviting everybody to come out. If you're curious about what Revive Ohio is about, this is a great time to come and see that. Also want to encourage others from the other counties to go and support this like we've done in the past. Also this weekend, Logan County's having an outreach at 10 o'clock. On Saturday morning, we'll be at the Christ Our King Church in Bell Fountain for a time of prayer, and then we'll be hitting the streets in Bell Fountain to pray with people and show the love of Christ. And then also Champaign County, they're going to be doing a special outreach on Saturday. It's going to be part of the Chili Cook-Off Festival that goes on in downtown Urbana. So they're going to be having an outreach there at the First Baptist Church there on Main Street. So I just want to invite everybody out to be part of this. And one last thing, Angie, that I want to let the listeners know about is the 10-county reunion happening Sunday, October 7th. That starts at 5 o'clock. That's going to be at Sydney at the Nazarene Church. So inviting everybody out just to, you know, be a part of that. There's going to be a meal at 5, and then we're going to have a time of sharing testimony and worship as we celebrate what God's doing in Ohio through these 10 counties and just how we can learn from each other and go back and continue the excitement where God has placed us. Go to our website at shinefmohio.com. Click on the Revive tab, and it'll just show you everything, the links that you can go to see what's going on with Revive here in our area.
All right, Mark, let's go ahead and jump into the lesson now. We're in Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 31.
Yeah, and this is subtitled Peter's Confession of Christ. And in verse 27, it starts, "Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Who do men say that I am?' And they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered and said to him, 'You are the Christ.' And then he charged them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." And so in this point, this is Jesus even modeling this with his disciples. And the point that we're making today is Jesus did this and modeled this by asking open-ended questions. And that's what we're doing today. We're asking questions as we're intending to listen. So again, the intent here and what we're focusing on today is listening. And so one of the ways to listen is to get people to talk. And sometimes we have to start sowing those seeds and ask a couple of open-ended questions so that they will begin to talk and share. And the reason that we have them do that is because we don't necessarily know what's going on in their heart and in their life unless we hear them say it. And so we need to do that to listen. And so we're asking questions and we're learning to do that as Jesus modeled that. And it was central to Jesus' life and his teaching. He asked many more questions than he ever gave answers. How many times do you recall reading where people questioned Jesus and he answered it with another question?
Yeah, right? Sometimes it's a little frustrating because I'm looking for the answer too.
Absolutely. We're reading intently, finding out what's he have to say about this. And he asks a question back because I believe that he's always trying to get to the heart of the matter. And that's really what we're trying to do as well. And again, I talk about distractions and how people try to change the subject when you're talking to them sometimes to get the light off of themselves. But what Jesus always did, Jesus always brought them back on topic. He brought it back to the central theme of how is your heart. And what we're trying to do in this lesson to point out is we want to listen to their heart to get to know them and what is really affecting their life today so that we may pray for them.
Before we even get to that, can I just put out a reminder? Because this is what goes on in my brain. I'm listening, trying to figure out what my response is going to be.
Yep.
And this is something that I think we all do. Listening takes practice, and you have to be an active listener. If that means you're repeating back what they're saying or you're continuing in a conversation, we have to be an active listener, and it's not always easy for us. So as we're learning this lesson, I really want people to remember that it does take practice, because people feel valued when you listen to them. Not when they can tell you're not listening. You have to really intently listen to what they're saying. And that sometimes is based on your response or your eye contact or just the fact that you're shutting up.
Yeah. And one of the things we say immediately, don't have your phone out. You know, don't be distracted yourself. If you're going to engage with them and even ask them a question, don't let yourself be distracted, right? Or don't let yourself be a distraction as well in the conversation. So we all see that in verse 27, Jesus went out, right? Well, Jesus was always going out. As we read about his ministry, he was always going out. He was always intentional as he was going out, right? He's going out to connect and to minister. So those are the first two main things. Well, first you got to go, and then you have to go out with an intention to listen. And I think what you're saying is so valid, Angie, because if you have to practice listening, you have to have that intention, first of all, and you have to remind yourself that, you know, I really need to focus on being a better listener today than I normally am. Because as you said, for many of us, our best practice is, well, we're going to give someone the answer. Yeah, you are, but you have to know the question first.
And we don't have to solve their problems. We're showing our love. Now, we talked about love last week. We show our love by listening.
Right.
And we don't have to solve the problem, but we can direct them to the one who can.
That's absolutely right. So we might be sowing or we might be watering. And many times we may not know which, but it doesn't matter. But what does matter is that God gives the increase to whatever the situation is. The second thing that Jesus did, as we delve into the third part of verse 27, one source indicates Jesus asked 307 questions throughout the Gospels. And of the 183 questions he was asked, so he answered with questions way more than he was even asked. So he very frequently asked open-ended questions so that he could allow them to speak and pour out their heart and share. It allowed even Jesus to better understand them.
So he's talking to his disciples, and his open-ended question is, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
Because of what reason? He just wanted them to start making that confession because he already knows their heart.
He does. So think of it in terms of this, Angie. So he wanted them to begin to verbalize what was in their heart. And so in order to teach them, right, well, how do you feel about this currently? And let's take it into a different context. If you're in a class and a teacher's teaching you a subject, well, what do you know about this subject so far? Like, tell me where you are now. And as you say that, then the teacher can begin to open it up and explain to you what it is. So Peter got it right, but the other one said, well, other people are saying this. So one of the things I think he's pointing out is, are you going with the word of the crowd? Are you going with what you really know? We get swayed by public opinion, don't we? Well, man, this is what I'm hearing over and over and over by the world or whatever. And are you being swayed by that? Or are you solidified that I am the Christ?
I think that we're all in that place at one point in our Christian walk. I know people who are brand new Christians, and they're not quite sure if they want to tell people yet what they're starting to believe. And I know that we've encountered people when we do our outreaches. I know we've encountered people who say, I am a Christian, but they're still not sure how to say, I'm a Christian, this is what I believe, and have the boldness in it. And so I can definitely relate some real practical application to this scripture, that they're still in that baby Christian phase, right? And they're still not quite sure if somebody asked them on the street, who is this guy?
Right. If we have the opportunity to walk them through the scriptures, we ask them to read the scriptures out loud. Same kind of thing, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so when they're actually verbalizing this thing, it's actually going through their heart.
Because they're hearing it for themselves.
Right.
From their own mouth.
Yes, amen. They're hearing themselves do it, and their faith is being built up. And I think what Jesus is doing here, even with his disciples, is building up their faith. Like, okay, you're hearing all these other things from all the crowd, but do you remember who I am? Right? Do you understand who I am? And getting them to confess that and say that builds faith in themselves.
The testimony we have today is from Pastor Rob. He is with Gretna Brethren here in Bell Fountain. And I love to hear his point of view about how he came into this whole thing and how God changed him through it. So we're going to be talking with Pastor Rob after we listen to a break. And I know that you guys have worked closely together.
Yeah, this will be fun because it was a blast watching Rob get transformed through the process and actually get outside his own church walls and walk this out. And now you can't get him to stop. This will be fun.
Welcome back to Time to Revive. My name is Angie. And today in the studio, of course, Mark Bird, we've been talking about listening today and how important it is. We're going to take some time right now to talk to our guest. It's in the studio with us, Rob Starnes. He's the pastor of Gretna Brethren Church here in Bell Fountain. And we're going to get, Rob, your personal opinion. We're going to take this all, wrap it all in here. Before we get started, Rob, I've got a few questions for you. First of all, what was your initial impression of Revive Ohio before you even went to a meeting?
Oh, wow. I guess uncertainty as to what it was and what it represented. There's often a level of skepticism, I think, even amongst churches and between churches. I know that's brutally honest, but I think it is at times. Shouldn't be there, but it is. We're leery. And I think that before I met those involved, you know, I was nervous about ulterior motives and agendas. But what I found with Revive is that they have no agenda other than Jesus Christ.
So do you think that that's a normal reaction from a pastor, from a church as a pastor? Do you think that's a normal reaction?
That's really confessional, but I think in some ways, I think it is at times. Yeah, sadly.
And so then you started to get involved with the meetings and things.
Absolutely.
You started to understand that there really is no other agenda.
Yeah, I started to see their heart. You get to know people and you understand and see the passion with which they pursue Jesus Christ. And to know that there is no other agenda or other mission or other denominational whatever involved. It's just about helping people come to know there is a valid and powerful Lord and Savior available to them if they would only engage Him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is amazing stuff.
So Mark, we're talking, you're a pastor, Rob's a pastor, and I just want to know, how is this different for a pastor to go out on a team and to go out and do an outreach?
Yeah, and when I go around and have meetings with pastors, like we've done here in Logan County, I'll say, hey, when is the last time you shared the gospel? You know, if I do that in a mixed crowd, a lot of people are sheepish about that. But then I say, okay, just to the pastors, when is the last time you shared the gospel outside the pulpit? Right? And then it's crickets. But the reality of that, because I experienced it myself, is like, I have no problem sharing the gospel. And most pastors would say that. Well, I have no problem sharing the gospel.
From the pulpit.
Every Sunday, from the pulpit.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
But how do you take that outside the four walls? And so I understand. And what I love the most is watching this transform other pastors, much like it did me.
Sure.
Right? Because if you go, God said He'll go with you. Mm-hmm. But even as pastors, do we really trust that?
Is that your risk experience, Rob?
Wow, that's a great question. I think initially in my life, yeah, as I first moved into a pastor role, it made me very, very nervous. But over time, you know, I found that the gutsier I were, the bigger he would show up. It's that simple. So the more willing I was to express my commitment to him and the gospel and to tell people openly of who Jesus is, the more I would find he was already working, the more I would find hearts already opening up, the more I would find people that really do want to hear that. And I got less scared.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about pastors, and it's okay to have that fear, but it's a realization that we all need to get past. We all need to be able to develop the boldness. And like Rob says, God always shows up. He never just leaves you hanging. I know I've been wanting to say something to somebody, and I think that's just weird. That's just strange. It's going to go badly. And it never does, because as Rob said, God is preparing the way, and he's completely behind you. He says it in his word. We got to trust it. So the next thing is, when I'm out on a team, I very often run into people that say, oh yeah, my cousin or son-in-law or somebody who's in more of an immediate family is a pastor. And I'm thinking to myself, why didn't they talk to you about the Lord? And I just led you to the Lord. Where were they all these 5 years or whatever?
Right. But the truth is, it's probably the hardest to witness to our closest people.
Oh, that's right? True.
It truly is. And so I say this to people all the time in talking about Revive. I say, well, if you have a family member or close friend or somebody that you really care about, if you want to see them come to Christ, why don't you sow into someone else's life and pray the Lord of the harvest to send labor to your loved one?
And I have that same prayer with my daughter. I know that I'm not in the position to be able to speak these things to her because it's too close. However, I'm praying constantly that there will be people in her life, and he's been good about that too, by the way. So praise God for that.
I love it on this particular topic today of listening, because I remember this and I still see it very frequently. When we begin to embark on the outreach week, we break up into teams and we go out. And as soon as a team finds out, oh, there's a pastor on our team. Hey, you're really good at speaking.
You can
do
it.
Why don't you speak? But especially in the topic today, is it's more important to listen than to speak.
Yeah.
And so for pastors, we are good at speaking, but listening, I'll leave it at that, right? We may need to work on that. I'm not saying Rob does. I'm not, but I'm saying that need to go, I need to learn how to listen to hear what these folks are.
We may have talked about this, but I think that there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in our lives, and we don't slow down enough to listen.
Oh, yeah. I think creating margin for God to operate and God to function and just allow him to do what he wants to do with you is one of the biggest challenges of what life looks like in our world right now.
So let me ask you, Rob, when you've been out on a team and you've actually taken the time and earnestly listened, how did it change, or how did God show up in a way that you didn't expect?
Oh, well, actually, it happened the first time I went out with a team, and it was in Sydney. It wasn't even in Logan County. It was in Sydney, just to kind of go and see what Revive was all about. I went with Mark Boyer, actually. But the team I went out with, I made it a point first not to tell them I was a pastor.
Amen.
I made it a point not to tell them that.
Back to what we just talked about.
Right, back to what we just talked about. And we had two people in the group that said, hey, we're going to go today, but we're just going to listen. We're just going to watch. We're not going to be involved. And then the group leader ratted me out and said, oh, you're a pastor. I heard you were a pastor. And so I expected to do all the talking. I figured that's what was going to happen. But you know, God connected us with a couple.
You're listening to Time to Revive
and a
here
small
on Shine
FM. And we spent an hour or so talking to them. And all I did was keep the kid busy. I played with the child. I had fun. We laughed. We giggled. And the two people that had said they would say nothing ended up saying everything, because God had connected that couple with one of those ladies 6 months previous, unbeknownst to her, that she had donated furniture to them and didn't know. And that birthed out of that conversation. And here you go. You've got all of a sudden these two people who said they weren't going to engage, engaging.
I love how God works in these.
Isn't it awesome? That is so cool. I love being around when he does things like that. It's just so fun to watch. It really is.
It really is.
But you had got to go to experience.
You have
that.
To go. You have to go. And I think Christians, we sometimes forget that God says, when you go, I'll be with you, right? And if we don't go, we miss opportunities to see him walking with us. And then we're left wondering, where was God? He was busy. Were you there?
Yeah,
right?
That's good.
So we generally say to people, how can I pray for you? And when people start to tell you their story, what do you actively do while you're listening to them?
My first inclination is to try to see them as God would see them. So I try to set aside any preconceived notions, any ideas on how I would perceive them or their history or their situation, and just try to hear their heart. I try to hear where they are.
Do you ask questions along the way to create conversation?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And those questions are really directed at finding out what they really need. Because most of the time, when people tell us what their concerns are, their issues are, the first issue usually isn't it. It's usually the second or third layer down. But those conversations take time. Those conversations take listening. Those conversations take relationship building. And so we sometimes avoid getting engaged in conversations like that because we want them to be neat and clean and easy and fast. And you want to follow the Lord? Yes. Great. We're done here. Thank you. Have a nice day. I can check you off the list. That is not how that works. And we have to be willing to let God provide the growth. And we're just there to listen, to plant seeds, to remind them that there is an earthly presence of God, and that's his church, his people should be his presence on this earth. But we're just we're the first fruits of something greater.
So. Good stuff. Anything else to add?
Oh, man, that's cherry on top right there. I love that.
Absolutely. Rob, thanks so much for coming in and giving us your two cents on how it's felt to be on a team yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Time to Revive here on Shine FM.
Thank you for listening to Time to Revive, brought to you by Revive Ohio. Join us again next Wednesday at 9 for another edition of Time to Revive.
We're community-supported Shine FM.
You're listening to Time to Revive.